You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
With a terrorist organization could be targeting U.S. citizens working for oil companies in the Eastern Province. This is USA Radio News.
GEICO presents Fan Mail to a Pig.
Dear Maxwell, I just want to say thank you for making my GEICO insurance ID card digital. It's easy to find on the app, it doesn't give me paper cuts, and I always have it on hand because it's on my phone. Because of this, I finally cleaned out my glove box, which was filled with years of paper ID cards. Any thought on what I should put in my glove box now? Sincerely, Trent Patterson. Trent, what can you put in the glove box? Here's a crazy thought. How about gloves?
Digital insurance ID cards, just a tap away on the GEICO app.
A new study finds a much-hailed law restricting the opening of new standalone fast food restaurants in a poor section of Los Angeles did not curb obesity. AP correspondent Ross Simpson reports.
City lawmakers passed the zoning ordinance in 2008 that limited the opening or expansion of fast food outlets in a 32-square-mile area south of I-10 that struggles with high obesity rates and other health problems. The law, believed to be the first effort of its kind by a major city to improve public health, did not ban new eateries and strip malls. Research by the RAND Corporation found that obesity rates in South L.A. continued to rise after the passage of that ordinance. I'm Ross Simpson.
Target has proposed to pay $10 million to settle a class action lawsuit brought against it following a massive data breach in 2013. The retailer says in court documents filed in Minnesota that the funds will be kept in an interest-bearing escrow account, with individuals affected by the breach able to be reimbursed up to a maximum of $10,000. The proposed settlement also requires Target to appoint a chief information security officer. The world's most valuable company is now a member of the Dow Jones Industrial Average. The Dow began trading with Apple stock when the markets opened today. The iPhone maker replaces AT&T, which was booted from the Dow. Apple has a market value of $748 billion. That's more than double the value of ExxonMobil, a fellow Dow member and the world's second most valuable company. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
The news is sponsored by Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they'll live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their own terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within your reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services, Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC.
On today's program, I'll be talking about how the Girl Scouts continue to impress me with creative ways to make sales, what employers are looking for in older workers, six ways to determine if you're in the right career, the five mistakes you're still making on LinkedIn, why having a mentor in business can save you time and money, and what to do if you have a hostile boss. It's Thursday, March 19th, 2015, and all that and more starts right now on Taking Care of Business.
And I'll be taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime. Work out.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. For the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. Before we get going, a brief check of the weather shows the temperature is currently 33 degrees at 12:06, and the forecast shows that today it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 43 degrees and a low of 24. For tomorrow, it'll be cloudy with snow likely. There is a winter weather advisory in effect from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. tomorrow with projected accumulations of 3 to 6 inches. We'll have a high temperature of 35 degrees and a low of 27. And for Saturday, partly cloudy skies with a high of 49 and a low of 27. For Sunday, it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 41 and a low of 19 degrees.
Taking care of business, it's all right. Taking care of business, working overtime.
The current check of the financial market shows the Dow is currently down 124.87 to 17,951.32. The NASDAQ is up 6.35 to 4989.18. S&P 500 down 12 to 2087.50. Oil down $1.10 to $45.55 a barrel. And gold is up $19.20 to $1,170.50 an ounce. Well, I heard from some restaurant friends of mine that they appreciated the plug I gave last week. So we're going to do it again this week. I had asked you to take your significant other or a group of friends out to dinner because restaurants had hurt so bad during the winter months with all of the snow and the cold temperatures that restaurants were showing that most sales were down close to 38%. And last weekend, three of my friends who were restaurateurs said that there were several people that came in saying that they had heard me plea that you go out to dinner over the weekend, and they were very happy to go out and then have a nice meal and also be able to support the restaurants. And some of them tried certain restaurants for the first time and really enjoyed it, said they would be back. So let's try it again this weekend. You know, it's going to be warm. It's going to be in the 50s over the weekend. So why don't we grab your significant other, your wife, your spouse, your husband, and treat them to a nice meal out. And then hopefully we can get the restaurants back on track and hopefully finish the year quite strong. Well, it happened about 8 minutes ago, and it won't end until probably around April 6th, 7th, or 8th. But right now is the worst time for productivity in American business. And that is because March Madness started about 10 minutes ago. The first games will tip off in about 15 minutes. But last night they had the what they call now the first four, the play-in games. Those are set. And now the regular tournament will begin today with a field of 64. So now for me personally, I know I have two computer screens on my desk. One of them, the left one, will be set to the CBS live feed so I can watch the games. The right one will be set on, you know, my work. But for the most part, you can tell that at least one eye is always looking at the game. So it's estimated that $1.9 billion worth of productivity, and that number seems conservative, will be affected by March Madness as employees take longer lunch hours or are busy, you know, tracking their brackets as each game is completed. What I really like is the boss button on some of the pool software programs, Yahoo, CBS Sports, etc. There's a boss button. So if you're working and you're tracking your bracket and you want to see, you know, is Kentucky going to win with 20 seconds to go, and you're kind of getting, you know, hitting the refresh button, waiting to see what happens to see if Kentucky will continue on in your pool. If you hear the boss walking down the hallway, you simply click on the boss button, and then there's a fake screen full of pie charts and bar graphs and things like that. And then when the boss walks away, you get back to your regular bracket, the most important stuff. During the preview, I mentioned that I was impressed yet again by the Girl Scouts. Now, this story started, and it's kind of taken a life of its own over the past couple of weeks. Every year, I get a tweet from my friend's daughter, Paige, and she steals his phone for probably what would seemingly be like an hour because of all the contacts in his cell phone. And she just fires out a quick email or message saying, you know, it's Girl Scout cookie time, and if you're interested in ordering cookies, you know, just let me know. Thanks, Paige. And we all know who it is. And I've described her not as a Girl Scout and not as a person who is a purveyor of Girl Scout cookies, but she is, there's no other way to put it. I need help. She is my dealer. And so I quickly replied back, give me three boxes. About 2 weeks after that happened, I mentioned that there was another Girl Scout who took to her mother's Facebook page and Twitter account and did the exact same thing that Paige did and was having phenomenal success raising sales that way. Then, of course, we had a crisis right in the middle of this story where it appeared that because production was slowed on Thin Mints, that there would be a delay in getting cookies out, especially in the New Jersey region. So, like any other drug addict or cookie addict, I started to get the shakes over that one. I mean, I was getting really nervous with that. I think it was last week when I mentioned the two Girl Scouts out in Minnesota who have taken the cookies on the road, if you will, and, well, not even on the road, more on the ice. And they are visiting ice fishermen in their little bungalows on the lake. And, you know, they have a sled full of cookies and they're just knocking on the doors and the fishermen come out. And, you know, and those fishing cabins are very elaborate. They have bunk beds, they have heaters. A lot of the guys will have Lazy Boy recliners in them. They drill their hole and they, you know, just kind of sit there. They watch TV on their satellite TVs. Now, it can get a little boring while you're fishing, so what better way to pass the time than with a couple of Thin Mints or trefoils? So the Girl Scouts were going door to door, so to speak, on the lake and selling their Girl Scout cookies. Well, now there's another idea. So once again, the Girl Scouts getting very creative in how they're bringing product to the market, and they've employed a creative new way for you to get your hands on some Thin Mints and Tagalongs. Now, located in both Vermont and New Hampshire, Girl Scout cookie lovers can roll or walk through the makeshift drive-thrus and purchase an unlimited amount of boxes. They've been selling at banks, roping off drive-thru areas in shopping malls and parking lots, says Patricia Meller, who's the council's CEO up in that region. The girls make up the signs, and they are the salespeople, but the adults are there to supervise to make sure that they stay safe. So what they're doing is creating drive-thru lanes in supermarket parking lots. And there was a nice picture of the girls with just a handwritten sign, you know, Girl Scout cookies with an arrow. And you would see people pull into the shopping center and all of a sudden there's a quick right-hand turn because they got to get their tag-alongs and Thin Mints. Now, for four more weekends, the troops of Girl Scouts of the Green and White Mountains will be working to reach their astounding goal of 1,265,000,000 boxes sold. All cash and major credit cards are accepted, Meller tells ABC News. It's unclear how many boxes the girls have sold so far. We started our booth sales on February 28th, says Kristen Rigoli, who's the director of sales and marketing. 10% of our booths are drive-thrus. 25% of our sales come from booths. And what we're finding is the drive-thru style allows an entire troop to participate, and I think it's wonderful for the girls. The chapter plans to continue drive-thrus as a means for selling cookies for years to come. So, gotta love the Girl Scouts and their ingenuity and the way they're doing this. And when we talk about the title of this show, Taking Care of Business, I think they're doing a great job of that. Think about how creative they've gotten. It's not just going door to door in your neighborhood anymore and selling cookies. We have one girl who's stealing dad's cell phone and messaging people. We have another girl taking her mother's Facebook account and Twitter account and, again, sending those messages out and getting great responses. We have girls walking across frozen lakes to get to the ice fishermen. And now we have girls setting up drive-thrus. And we've all seen the little, you know, table setups over at ShopRite or something like that when the Girl Scouts will come out. And, you know, I love that because if I was going in to buy a box of Oreos, you can bet I don't have to go through the doors because I'd rather have the Girl Scout cookies. So great to see how they're bringing the product to the people. And it also begs the question, as far as marketing is concerned, if you're looking at your own business, how are you bringing your product to your potential customers? We're up on the first break. When we come back, we're going to take a look at what employers are looking for in older workers. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hello, this is psychic medium Trish Woods. with the program Afterlife Real Life that airs every Thursday from 1 to 3 p.m. My co-host is psychic medium Jane Davidson from the United Kingdom. We have listeners and callers from all over the world. We're looking forward to hearing what you want to know about with metaphysics, spirituality, personal spirit experiences, psychic work, and more. From 1 to 3 p.m. every Thursday, you can call in or tune in, asking Jane and I your questions, your personal ideas, and maybe getting help with your own personal life. Afterlife Real Life, every Thursday, 1 to 3 p.m.
Do you need a great sign to promote your business or organization? Signs by Crown of Flemington is your local professional sign shop and can provide you with high-quality banners, lawn signs, vehicle graphics, pop-up displays, window graphics, wall lettering, magnets, and much more. Signs by Crown can help you with the design, layout, creation, and installation of your signs. Signs by Crown is located inside Crown Trophy at 33 Rayville Avenue in Flemington. Remember, if you have something to say, say it with a sign from Signs by Crown.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business and working overtime.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, and I'll be with you for the next 40 minutes or so as we discuss issues affecting businesses large and small, both here in Flemington, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. So glad you could join us. Got an email from a listener last week. Every week at the end of the show, I always ask for people to email me if they have discussion topics or guest suggestions that they want to go over. And I got an email from a gentleman who said that he was 60 years. Let me just read it. It said, "Dear Jim, I am 60 years old and recently found myself unemployed, been out of work now for 3 months. Do you have any advice on how I can re-engage myself in the workforce as I'm afraid that my age is working against me?" Now, this is a question that pops up very often, especially in the recruiting field, which obviously is illegal. You can't discriminate against the person for their age. But if you're a person that is over the age of 50 and looking for a job, it helps to know what employers are looking for. Now, a recent Society of Human Resources Management and Sloan Foundation survey showed that of 1,913 human resources professionals asked what companies are looking for in older employees, these are the most important things as far as what you bring to the table. So the first thing they are looking for is for you to be able to demonstrate your experience. The majority of employers, 77%, recognize that older workers tend to have more knowledge and skills than younger employees do. Some companies also commented on the valuable tacit knowledge, and that was at 51%, and institutional knowledge, 47%, that only experienced employees who have worked at an organization or in a field for many years can acquire. Now, that was according to the Society of Human Resources Managers. So make sure that your decades of work experience are perceived as an asset. You also want to be able to emphasize your network. This was the second thing that both SHRM and the Sloan Foundation found was important. Older workers have a lifetime of accumulated contacts and colleagues. Some employers are interested in tapping into the established network of clients and customers that older workers have access to. Being able to bring new business into the company is a great way to get hired. You also wanted, number three, keep it professional. Companies typically perceive older workers as being more mature and professional, and that was rated at 71%, and also more reliable, which was at 59%, than their younger counterparts. Human resources professionals also say that older workers tend to have a stronger work ethic at 70%, and they don't give potential employers any reason to think that this stereotype doesn't apply to you. Number four, highlight your communication skills. Some employers say they are looking for older workers who have proficient grammar and spelling. That's up to 45%. Reading comprehension is at 20%, and English speaking skills also at 20%. A resume and cover letter without any spelling or grammar errors is the perfect place to demonstrate your writing ability. Other employers are looking for critical thinking and problem-solving skills. That's up to 28%. And be prepared to list examples of workplace problems that you've encountered and what you did to help fix them. You also want to be able to, number five, make a commitment to the company. Now, some firms say they are interested in hiring older workers because they perceive them to be more loyal to the company. That's at 52%, according to the survey. And they tend to have lower turnover, also 52%. They're also looking for older workers who would be committed to and engaged with workplace goals. That's at 51%. So if you're planning to remain in the workforce for long term, it can be helpful to point that out to future employers. You also should be able to be indicating your willingness to pass on your skills. Now, many human resources departments say they are interested in older workers who are able to serve as members, or as mentors rather, to younger workers. That's at 63%, or nearly two-thirds. Just over half, 54% of the employers surveyed said they have training programs designed to transfer knowledge from older to younger workers, typically through mentoring or job shadowing programs. And finally, find out where recruiters are looking for older workers. While 54% of the firms surveyed said they don't actively recruit older workers, some firms are making an effort to hire people in their 50s or older. Companies most often turn to employee referrals, 33%, and networking, 24%, to find experienced employees. Other common ways to try to search for older job candidates include websites geared toward an older audience, using current older workers as recruiters, employment agencies, and social media. Among employers that use social media to recruit older workers, the most popular social networking sites for job opportunities are LinkedIn at 74% and Facebook at 49%. So a lot of good information in there for workers. Let's cap it off at around the 50-year-old age mark and above, and say that those are the tips that you could be using. A perfect example of this is my wife's company years ago is a major pharmaceutical company, and we were having dinner, a big dinner for her group at Windows on the World, and I had got a chance to meet with the president of the division, and he came over and he goes, "We have a great plan to save money. We're going to cut staff. We're going to give early retirement packages to a lot of people who are age 52 and above." Later in the evening, he made his way over to us, and I said, "Your plan won't work." And my wife was absolutely mortified, as she usually is when I open my mouth. And he goes, "What do you mean?" And I said, "You're letting go the most experienced workers, the people who have taken drugs from the Petri dish and brought them to market. And now you're throwing all that experience away so that you can replace it with lesser paid, less experienced individuals at a cap of an age of about 35 years old. So you're going to lose that 35 to 50 year old, 20 years worth of experience." You fast forward 1 year, we're back at Windows on the World in the World Trade Center, and he comes up to me from across the room, and he's pointing at me as he's walking to me, and again, my wife is mortified, and he said, "You were right on with your assessment." I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He goes, "We let all those people go. We gave them the early retirement package. We had to spend millions of dollars to do that, and then after about 6 months, we realized that there was nobody left that could bring that project to completion from cradle to grave. We had to hire them all back as consultants, only at double the salary. It ended up costing them more money in the long run." So I'm not a big fan of the early retirement buyouts. If people want to work and they're contributing let it go. Let them work and let them do that. But I love that other comment in there about the mentoring program, and I do have another story on that later in the show, where they can pass on their knowledge. Why spend 30 years with a company if you're going to be selfish and take that information with you? Pass that information on. What challenges have you faced along the way, either in product development or marketing or something like that, that hopefully you can avoid in the future, and the younger employees can avoid as well. During the preview of the show, I talked about 5 mistakes that you're probably still making on LinkedIn, and I wanted to go through them right now. There are 5 opportunities that seem to be common gaps from CEOs to college students when using LinkedIn, and here they are. Number 1, you want to turn off your notifications. Now, this is still a top issue that people don't know about when they start tinkering with their profile. Now, when you turn off notifications, it allows you to edit your profile without announcing those changes to your network, and that can be everything from college information, certificates that you've achieved or something like that. If you don't want the whole world to know everything you're doing as you're doing it, turn off your notifications. And the same thing applies to Facebook, because I had a friend of mine who was married for 27 years, and then it said that, you know, he just changed his status to married. And I thought that maybe his wife would appreciate that fact. Now, that said, when you want everyone to know about a new board position or a new job, then you do want to turn on the notifications before you make the edit. And this way, they'll get that information as soon as you post it. Now, to do this, go to your small photo in the upper right, select Manage Privacy Settings from the drop-down menu, and then in the middle of the screen is a link that says Turn Off Your Activity Broadcast. Click on that, and if it is checked, then you will notify everyone with edits. If it is unchecked, your edits will not be shared. Number 2, you do want to get a profile photo. And it's important to have a great profile photo. Now, typically, people don't connect or even click on profiles that don't have a profile photo. People are 14 times more likely to look at your profile if you do have a photo. And when you try to connect with someone, they are 40% more likely to connect with you when they have a photo of you that they can see. You do want your profile photo to be approachable and professional. So please stay away from selfies, vacation photos, or the ones with the proverbial red solo cup in your hand. Do have your photo be a close-up of your face. Often people ask what they should wear, a suit or no suit. It really depends on your brand. If you're going into investment banking, you probably want to wear a suit. If you're in tech or digital, maybe you want an interesting background color and clothes that are more casual and edgy or modern. The most important thing is for you to be comfortable and wear colors that flatter you. So take a few outfits or tops with you when you get your headshot done so that you have more than one look to choose from your profile photo, your bio photo, etc. Number 3, you want to choose your keywords wisely. Now, increasing your findability is critical. Leveraging keywords is an important factor for being discovered. Keywords show up in your header, your job titles, your summary, and descriptions. And we recommend identifying several keywords that highlight your skills, industry, and function. And this includes ensuring that you have your company name listed correctly. LinkedIn also allows you to use Boolean logic and combine search words to find people. So you can search on CTO and or Chief Technology Officer and or Vice President of IT, for example. Now, I'll get into Boolean strings in a few minutes. Now, get together with a few friends, and one that is connected to you and one that is not, if possible. And then search on keywords and see how you come up. What words matter? For the people that show up top, how is their profile set up? You should even save your photos with your keywords, including keywords in the captions too. Number 4, repetition makes reputation. Use visuals to highlight your evidence. LinkedIn allows you to leverage photos, documents, SlideShare, and links to provide evidence to showcase your reputation. One recommendation here is to think about your evidence. What can you use? Do you have documents that you could digitize and share on LinkedIn? At the next event, make sure and get a photo of you at the event, especially if you are a speaker, sponsor, or winning an award. Be sure to include white papers or publications that you have written. Be creative here. A picture is worth 1,000 words, and this even includes using the background photo at the top of your profile, too. Now, if you're comfortable, a big trend this year is to use video on your LinkedIn bio. It depends on what you do and what you want to say, but definitely consider uploading a video or linking to your top Vimeo or YouTube videos. Number 5, what is your call to action? Make sure your LinkedIn profile is not a dead end. Think about what you want people to do when they visit your page. Do you want them to reach out to you or maybe visit your website? Perhaps you are launching a new product and you want to let people know that it's available. Create calls to action that help people understand what opportunities they have to continue to engage with you, your content, and for business owners, your company. Link to your blog or upload white papers. Some additional ideas include recommend people read your blog, sign up for your newsletter, keep the conversation going, and always provide value. Now, it mentioned in there Boolean strings, and a lot of people don't understand what that means. When you're doing a Google search, and we do it all the time at Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're always looking for potential new customers, and sometimes that may just be a baseball team in a particular town. Now, if I just type in the word youth baseball, I'll get something like 8 million results because there's so many different leagues around the country. But if I want to be specific and I want to get it narrowed down to, you know, what we call the bottom of the funnel, then I have to make the Boolean string, make the operators easy for me to get down to that little sliver that I'm looking for. Operating words are and, or, nor, and but. So what you do is I would start out with youth baseball and Hunterdon County and New Jersey and Flemington. And what it's going to do is it's going to search all of the websites out there and finally get me down to what I hope will be the local baseball league in Flemington, New Jersey, FRB. And I'll probably get some ancillary ones if FRB plays in other tournaments in other towns and they're mentioned there, but at least I'm getting as close to the homepage as I possibly can. We did this when we started our business so that we could develop a large database of potential customers, and it has paid for itself time and time again in how we're able to attract new customers to visit our store. Well, we've talked about today what to do if you're an older worker, how to improve your LinkedIn profile. One question that I have gotten several times is, how did you open a trophy store? And this is actually my fourth career. I started out in the insurance industry. I then went to turnarounds of lumber yards, going in and finding out what processes or people weren't working, and then making suggestions and creating processes that would work and turning them around to profitability. Then I went into recruiting for 8 years, had a great time in that career, and now I own my own business, and I'm in the trophy awards recognition business, the sign business, apparel business, promotional materials, and varsity jackets. So there's a lot we're doing, and the question becomes, from most candidates, is how do I know what other career I'm suited for, and is it possible to switch from one to another? Now, the good news for job seekers looking for not just a new cubicle, but also an entirely fresh start, is that many industries that are in high demand, including computer security, venture capital, consulting, and investment banking, are also the ones that hire the largest proportion of employees from outside. And that's as a result of a new report. For the report that was released on January 30th, LinkedIn scoured its data to see which industries were pulling in career switchers at the highest rates. LinkedIn counted users who added a job in 2014 that was in a different industry than the one they had most recently worked in. The company then calculated what share of users were new among industries with at least 50,000 global users. Internet companies, which had 11.8% of employees new to the industry, led the pack, followed by venture capital and private equity at 11.1%, computer and network security at 10.6%, and online media at 9.9%. The data showed that while internet companies have always been a magnet for engineers, they're also bringing in a growing number of people with absolutely no coding experience, such as retail experts, business development professionals, and strategists armed with management consulting experience, said Andrew Kritzer, who's business operation analytics manager for LinkedIn. Venture capital was also an area where industry outsiders, some with experience in food and beverages, others who came from broader backgrounds in financial services, were surprisingly welcome. VCs need a diverse set of experts to properly source and evaluate new opportunities, as well as manage current investments through mentor, advisor, and board positions, Kritzer said. Other industries that ranked highly on the list absorbed large numbers of employees from closely related industries that have been under financial duress. Companies in the online media industry, number 4 on LinkedIn's list, hired new employees from publishing, newspaper, and broadcast media at a fast clip. Of course, some skills transfer more easily across industries than others. The jump from a print newspaper to an online media outlet is probably easier to make than, say, the jump from a print newspaper to a private equity firm. Still, unhappy workers who have the connections and resumes to move into a new field might be relieved to see that they're not necessarily chained to one industry for life. So that's welcome news to many people. And sometimes, you know, when I was in recruiting, I always had to ask people, would you consider a different career? And it was a very hard thing because the ego gets in the way sometimes, but a lot of times It may be what's going to keep food on the table, lights on in the house, and in fact, you in the house. We talked earlier in one of our stories about mentors and the importance of them. And I've often said that in business, it's a great idea to have a mentor. And I have several that I use in the trophy industry. I have several that I still connect with in the building and supply business, still from insurance, still from the recruiting days. But in the trophy industry, I have several that I use, and those are the top performing stores, the Crown Trophy stores. And I think I say this every year, that as we approach our summer meeting in July, I'm already making a list of who I want to talk to and why. And I already know I'm going to talk to Randy Coulter from Kentucky. I'm going to talk to Ryan Tyson in Kentucky. I'm going to talk to Gary and Deb Jaycox out in Boulder, Colorado, Angie and Brian Cassie, Bill Sullivan. I look these people up. I need to talk to them and just kind of review what I've done over the past year, listen to what they've done over the past year, what's working, what's not, and make sure that I'm on the right track. I've actually taken my sales numbers month to month, year to year, and gone over them with Gary Jaycox. And most business owners wouldn't share this information with a fellow business owner, but I just put it out on the table for him. I said, Gary, here's where I was, here's where I am, where do you see me going? And the best thing about that is the honesty that I get. And the one day, about 2 years ago, he said, my son Brandon and I, who's in the business with me, we were together, and he looked at this paper and he said, you got to get ready. And he was almost saying, like, you got to leave this meeting now because you are about to have explosive growth. And he was dead on right. And we jumped in sales about $150,000 that year. And he knew from his track record, that was when it all kind of clicked in. And it's been going that way ever since. Periodically, owners will call me because now they're looking at me as in a mentorship role. And other times I'm still calling the folks because I don't know it all yet. So as I mentioned, I've often said that it's a great idea to have a mentor, somebody that you can go to in a similar position and or industry, someone who's walked the same path you're about to and can help guide you along the way to prevent you from making mistakes and losing money. And as I mentioned, I use mentors, people I trust who guide me in various business decisions. And over the years, I found that many businesses are using me to mentor them. In a mentorship relations, questions are usually more important than answers. After all, how can you help prepare someone if you don't know exactly what they want to accomplish? Now, that said, not all mentors are created equal, which is why recently nine entrepreneurs from the Young Entrepreneur Council were polled regarding what they wish their mentors would have asked them when they first approached them. And here are the questions and their answers. The first question, which was brought up by John Rampton from a company called Host, was, are you ready? And he says that I wasn't ready at the time for the journey ahead, physically and most importantly, mentally. He could have guided me a little differently and helped me in ways that took him years to realize. 2 years after I met my mentor, he asked me this and really started helping me become ready for the journey that I'm on right now. To become the best mentor, you have to really know everything about the person, know how they work, and know how you can best help them to become the person they are meant to be. The next question was, why do you want this? Now, Brian Honigman from BrianHonigman.com said that his mentor has been invaluable to his career thus far and has generously given him lots of great advice. But one question that he wished would have been asked is why I wanted to achieve the goals I had set for myself. He encouraged him to pursue his own venture, but never really asked me why he had made that choice. Through a good amount of soul searching, he felt that he was able to come to this answer on his own. However, having an understanding of his motivations before he embarked on the journey would have curbed a lot of his initial anxiety and might have led him to make better decisions. Also, having that conversation might have prompted him to share the reasons why he pursued entrepreneurship. Maybe the reason he never brought it up was because he felt I needed to reach those conclusions on my own. Beck Bamberger from BAM Communications said that the question he wished was asked of him was, how much time are you ready to devote to this relationship? Now, setting expectations for any relationship is a good idea. Mentors are often strapped for time more than others, and now I ask potential mentors what amount of time they are willing to give, as well as what amount of time they expect from me. Are we going to give each other an hour a quarter with brief updates, or can I expect us to meet on the weekend for 5 hours once a month to review some critical planning? And there's a big difference in that. Luke Skirman, who's from Niche.com, said, are you in it for the long haul? Would have been a question that he would have wanted to know. Now, if you fast forward 10, 15, 20 years after starting the business, are you going to be content to still be driving the company? I think building something for the long haul that's sustainable is much more rewarding than trying to do a quick short-term flip. I've been running my business for over 12 years, and I'm still loving it every single day, Skirman says. Renan Lachman of Play, P-L-E-Y, asked that he wished the question, "What are you most passionate about?" was asked of him. And it's essential that you're not in your professional sector for the wrong reasons. Otherwise, you will end up unhappy. That being said, he wishes that his mentor had initially asked him, "What are you really passionate about, and what do you find easiest to master?" Now, passion and ease tend to be connected. This is not always because your passion comes naturally, but because you have spent hours upon hours doing research and self-teaching on the subject. As soon as you can answer this double-edged sword of a question, you will begin to find other questions about the future, and your vision will not be as scary and impossible to answer. What wakes you up in the morning? Fierce Kittene of Amerisleep asked that question, not because they're from Amerisleep, but for some, waking up and feeling motivated to do anything other than rest can be a struggle. Now, if his mentor had asked him what had got him going in the morning, what fueled her passion to pursue long-term goals, or what motivated him to do what he did every day, he would have been able to disclose his yearning to break free from a traditional career and work environment. By revealing my true inclinations, I would have developed the courage to become an entrepreneur sooner rather than later, says Kittene. Now, Randy Reyes from VenturePack said, "What can you do that will most impact your business today?" And notice he said today, not next month. "I think many times early on we get so caught up in operations that we lose sight of the big picture and what matters most to our business. Mentors help you reassess some of the core assumptions that you make by asking smart questions like, what will most impact your business? This gives you a sense of how to prioritize the long list of tasks that you are constantly struggling to complete." Adam Stillman from SparkReel said that the biggest question that he wished he was asked was, "How big should this company be?" It's important to have a realistic view of the industry your company is in. Not every company is Uber, which is solving a fairly ubiquitous problem. If you are creating a company of a niche industry, it will limit your size. This isn't an inherent issue, but you must make sure to fundraise and scale appropriately. What's preventing you from accomplishing your goals? That was from Joshua Lee from Standout Authority. Now, this question forces you to dig deep and get past the excuses. The follow-up question is, why? It forces you to dig into specific reasons why you failed or made mistakes. This level of introspection allows you to learn from those mistakes and gives you a higher probability for reaching your current goals. And he suggests that you hire a mentor for two reasons, clarity and accountability. Currently 12:43. When we come back, if you have a hostile boss, we're going to tell you what to do about it. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
You shouldn't give for the accolades. You shouldn't give for the backpacks. You shouldn't give for the tax breaks either. At Jersey Mike's, we think you should give for one reason and one reason only, to give. Come in to any Jersey Mike's location during March for our month of giving and join us as we help support local charities across the country all month long. It's your chance to get a tasty sub sandwich and help do something good for the community you call home. And on Wednesday, March 25th, Jersey Mike's is proud to be donating 100% of sales to a charity right in your own backyard. Jersey Mike's. Help nourish. Help flourish. Be a sub above.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, with you for the next 12 minutes, and then we'll turn it over to Trish for Afterlife Real Life. Hey, just wanted to mention that there is a comedy night benefiting North Hunterdon High School this Saturday, March 21st of 2015 at the Stengel Factory here in Flemington. The North Hunterdon Education Foundation is hosting a comedy night with a silent live auction on March 21st at 7 p.m. You can join them for an entertaining night out at the Stengel Factory in Flemington. Enjoy the show featuring comedians Teddy Daniels, Tom D'Addario, and Joe Conti. Comedy night will be catered by the Bluefish Grill and will feature plenty of hot appetizers, a dessert buffet, and coffee and tea. Wine and beer will also be available for purchase as this is a 21 and over event. Tickets are $75 and the proceeds are going to go towards establishing a career and college resource center at North to help students and their families successfully navigate this very important time in their lives. To buy your tickets or for more information, please visit www.nhhsfoundation.org. All right. We've all had one at some point, a boss that you just don't like. They're mean. They're hostile. They're cantankerous. They're ornery. You know, you can go to the thesaurus and look up other words. I have one in particular. I won't name names, but he made it a point almost every day of demeaning every employee in the business that we worked in. And there were about 40 employees at the time, but he made it a point. It was kind of like a power struggle that he had to show that he was better than you, either by flaunting his wealth or putting you down in some way. And it was just, after a while, it just kind of wore on you. And then, you know, it would turn nasty and he would call you names and he would swear at you and cuss at you and things like that. And it just got to the point where you literally dreaded going to work every morning. And that's that Sunday afternoon test, that Sunday evening test that I tell people about, where if you feel that feeling in the pit of your stomach after dinner, we're like, ugh, I got to go to work in the morning. It's that kind of relationship. Now, not everyone loves their work. 7 out of 10 employees either despise their jobs or are totally disengaged, according to a recent Gallup poll. Another 1 in 10 are totally dissatisfied with their boss or immediate supervisor. Now, no one likes a boss who's a jerk. But what about the supervisor who's really antagonistic to his employees, yelling, mocking them, and telling them that their ideas are stupid? What's the best way to handle the situation? According to Ohio State University and a new study completed there, they suggest you be hostile right back. And the study found that employees who retaliated against hostile bosses felt less like victims and had less psychological distress and greater job satisfaction than those who did nothing. Now, before we did this study, I thought there would be no upside to employees who retaliated against their bosses, but that's not what we found, said Bennett Tepper, the study's lead author and professor of management and human resources at Ohio State University's Fisher College of Business, in the press release. The study was done in two parts. In the first part, respondents answered questions for two surveys that were 7 months apart. The first survey asked people how often their supervisor did hostile things, such as, my supervisor ridicules me, and my supervisor tells me that my thoughts and feelings are stupid. The survey also asked how often employees struck back by doing things such as ignoring their boss or making only a half-hearted effort to do what their boss requested. 7 months later, the same respondents answered questions about job satisfaction, commitment to the company, psychological distress, and negative feelings. In the end, boss hostility without employee retaliation caused people to feel less committed to the employer, more depressed, and less satisfied at work. But when people were hostile back to their bosses, termed upward hostility in the study, the exchange didn't affect them negatively. This was interesting, of course, but what then? Were employees initially happy about their boss payback and later fired, demoted, assigned to a desk in the basement? The researchers decided to run a second set of surveys, three this time, to figure this out. These three surveys were completed 3 weeks apart from each other. The first survey contained similar questions as the previous first one about downward and upward hostility. The second survey asked whether employees identified themselves as victims at work and measured their feelings of negativity. And the third survey measured job satisfaction, commitment to the company, psychological distress, and career outcomes. The results? As upward mobility increased, so did career satisfaction and career expectations. They were also less likely to identify themselves as victims and experience less psychological distress. How's that, you ask? It may be that workers who stand up for themselves impress their colleagues and feel better about their work. We have respect for someone who fights back, who doesn't just sit back and take the abuse, Tepper says in the release. Having the respect of coworkers may help employees feel more committed to their organization and happy about their job. One of the ways that I often correlate that story is in recruiting, we had a process called mirroring, where if a candidate talked very fast, we were told to talk as fast as they did. If they talked very slow, then we were taught to talk very slow as well, because it just made a better connection. And I've done this with people that, with customers in particular, who are very rude and short and cross and things like that, and I'll go right back at them, and I have leveled the playing field every time. And I think there's a certain amount of respect that's gained when they realize they can't necessarily kind of lord over you, if you will. Well, there's seven creative job interview questions that one CEO asks every job candidate that I thought was rather interesting. Maybe you'll include it in some of your upcoming job interviews, or maybe it will prepare you for the off-the-wall type question that you may never expect in a traditional job interview, but you should be prepared to answer. Now, Mitch Rothschild says everyone has a, quote, interview face, and his goal is to get candidates to drop it when they're in the hot seat. Rothschild is the CEO of Vitals, a website that connects doctors and patients, and recently he told Adam Bryant of the New York Times that he does this by asking a specific set of questions. He says he usually starts by asking candidates, can you give me a tour of your life? I'll also ask, tell me three things about you that define yourself. And when you're not at work, what do you do two standard deviations better than anybody else? He tells Bryant, I want to know what they're good at, what they love about it, and get them talking about their passions. Then Mitch Rothschild also says that next he wants to get a sense of whether they're comfortable with change. So Rothschild asks questions like, what am I not going to like about you in 90 days? And what do you think you're not going to like about me? I want to know what makes people crazy at work, he says. Interesting take. Then he tells Bryant, to help him understand the candidate's aspirations for the job, Rothschild asks, if this interview were reversed and I was coming into your house and you were interviewing me because you had 16 different job offers to choose from, what would you be looking for from me? And finally, he says he likes to ask, what percentage of your life do you control? He said, this is always a winner because it helps me understand how they feel about the world out there. Can you force change to happen, or will change happen to you? As a small company, we have to change the environment, so I want people to say a high number. Very interesting take and a different approach to the interview process. Well, there's two common reasons that talented people will walk out on employers. And it's one of the biggest fears as I talk to small business owners is that they can't afford to lose a particular employee. And for different reasons, my business, we lost a key employee when she was diagnosed with cancer a few months ago, and she's been on the sidelines desperately wanting to come back. But unfortunately, her health and her treatments just prevent it. So it's definitely putting a big causing a big toll on us and the amount of extra work that we have to do. But what about the people who just get up and walk out and say they've had enough? Recognition and reward go a long way in the workplace, especially if you're trying to motivate your employees. But there are a few common mistakes that managers make when trying to show workers their appreciation that can do more harm than good. Now, according to management consultant and best-selling author Bernard Maher, they are, one, only rewarding results, and two, promoting a superstar culture. So when you're talking about only rewarding results, effort is often just as important, he writes in a recent LinkedIn post. Now, while a select few may be responsible for a winning result, a big sale or a major project for a client completed on time, don't let those working behind the scenes feel underappreciated. Also know that you don't always have to wait until there's a win. It's important just to recognize progress as well. Namor says that big projects may take a long time to come to fruition, and it's easy for employees to get frustrated and lose enthusiasm along the way. But if you keep them engaged and feeling appreciated for the duration, they're likely to produce better results and will want to stick around. And as far as promoting a superstar culture, if you've created an office where everyone knows they should try to be more like Bill, then you're doing something wrong. Motivating and incentivizing should be carefully balanced so individual success does not appear more beneficial to the business than the work of the team as a whole. If the staff feels that one superstar employee is constantly rewarded for the performance of the group, then motivation will suffer. He says it's important to remember that success can be recognized at the individual, departmental, and company-wide level, and it should always be recognized at all three. All right, as I mentioned in sports, the NCAA basketball, the tournament has begun, and as previously mentioned, that will continue through the first week of April. As for me, with two computer screens on my desk, one for work, and one will be live streaming the games. In the NCAA, Coach Jim Boeheim of Syracuse has announced his decision to retire in 3 years, and President Obama, as he does every year, as a huge basketball fan, has picked Kentucky to win the national championship. In Major League Baseball, spring training is underway, and the outcast Alex Rodriguez hit his first home run of the season last Tuesday. In NASCAR, Kevin Harvick won last week's race in Phoenix, which means that in the last seven races dating back to last year, Harvick has either finished first or second. Also, Harvick has now won the last four spring races in Phoenix. So you can take that, J.D. Southern. And this is week three of the West Coast Swing as it heads into Sonoma, California this week. As always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day, and maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, never let it rest until your good is better, and your better is best. If you have ideas for upcoming programming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn or on Twitter at JimGaneau83 or on Facebook. I'm Jim Ganeau, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody. Taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business and working overtime. Work out. The news is sponsored by Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
In America, we believe in a future that is better than today. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has been working hard for their clients' futures, never taking a bailout, helping generations achieve dreams, buy homes, put their kids through college, retire how they want to. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you feel more confident about your financial future. Put the strength of a global financial leader to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your dreams and goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services, Incorporated. Member FINRA and SIPC.
USA Radio News. I'm Kelly Sloan. Top Iranian and U.S. officials are negotiating a draft nuclear deal which would force Iran to cut bomb-making hardware by 40%. The deal would also cap Iran's uranium. But California Congressman Ed Royce says Iran has ignored past deals.
How can we expect Iran to uphold an agreement when they are not meeting their current commitments?
In return, the Iranians would be offered immediate relief from sanctions that have crippled their economy. 9 people have been arrested in connection with yesterday's attack on the National Museum in Tunisia. 23 people were